it like that anymore because the, well, Maury Syndak's estate didn't want me to use the pictures anymore. So now we look like that. And then in 2007, 2008, I ended up, oh wait, I forgot this part. 2007, I was like, what's 2007? So 2007 actually is, I was here at the ACC in 2007 and left to go, and we had our first meeting in 2007, and that is from then. And these other significant moments. And then in 2008, I actually had to do a career change. And because I had been involved online with the adoption community and been blogging for quite a few years, I ended up answering this job ad for, it was a very, very ambiguous kind of PR kind of thing. And I ended up falling into working with a digital marketing company. And in that, I actually, it was when social media first started getting its name. But I felt like I had been doing it already since 2001 online with adoption. And so they made me the director of social media because we needed one. And I had like very nice, prestigious clients. And I did like branding work and, you know, fantastic stuff until it was just really, really, really horrible because it was corporations. And my heart was still in the adoption community. And I really wanted to bring it back home because I had learned all these skills. Spent 4.5 years, so I look at it like it was a really great college education where I learned to be really, really good at this marketing. But I didn't come from the marketing. I used to go to the conferences there, and I would say, I'm not a marketing geek. You know, I'm not a PR person. I'm not an advertiser. I'm from the community. And was bringing that to marketing and then realized marketing wasn't really appreciating it, so I needed to go back to the community because we needed to learn how to use this stuff. So I left my job in, 2012 and kind of started really going hardcore on my branding, and I do things like this and do the adoptee rights, and but really it's not about me at all, because we're here to talk about the internet, which is more than about cats, even though I do appreciate a really good cat, and even though there's a song about it, it's not about porn, even though some people might argue with me about that one, because it really is a tool. And just briefly, I'm going to go, I talk really fast, and I don't want this to be like, if you have questions, and I'm like, you're like, what are you talking about, Claude? Don't wait until the end, seriously, don't even worry about raising your hand, just be like, what? What do you mean? Because I eat this stuff. And so, you're not going to this so much. I mean, I spent 4.5 years doing it, and there's people that have been doing it for 10 years, and they like get really, really hardcore geeky. And the amazing thing about it is that most of this stuff is really, it's all out there on the internet. So you could Google any question, and you can find it. And a lot of it is really great to be able to be self-taught, and then you can find the information. So I really, there's no way that I can, A, give you everything in this small amount of time, with you being able to comprehend it, because some people get it really great and some people don't. But what I really, if you could like just leave, the one biggest wish is that if you could leave with like the light bulb moment of, oh my God. And I'll just do one really brief story before I go into total geek land. When I was first learning this stuff, and I was 2008, and I was sitting down, and I was like, what is this? What does Dragon Search even do? Because I didn't even understand like what I was really doing. And it was explained to me like what SEO is, which is search engine optimization. And I was talking, and I'm listening, and I'm going, okay, wait a minute. So we're in the adoption community, and I was already like, wow, we're pretty darn incredible. Like, we're like halfway to Geekland as it is, just ourselves, like our ability to use the internet and the fact that we own so many properties and we own all this real estate. And, you know, so many people have URLs and so many people already have sites. And I was like, wow, if we work together using this, we have the ability to really control the information that's out there online. And it was this light bulb moment, and I was like, wow, we can change the game. It's a game changer. And if you can just walk out going, this is amazing, and I'd like to focus even on one aspect of it to do more than my job here, and I will be like happiest person. Because this is like a total dream of mine. You know, the ACC is close to my heart because of everything, how it's been involved in my own personal experience. And it's just so exciting to me to be able to be bringing this to you guys, because I feel like I learned all of this because of my place in the community. And so to be able to give it back is just like, I'm just so thrilled. So that's my big thing. So the internet, 40% of U.S. population is online in some form or another. The numbers itself shows why this is such a great tool. That's the world population. In the U.S., we got a big, huge total population. You can see the number. I don't need to pretend that I know how to say it. A lot of them are online. It's 86% of the U.S. population is online in some form or another. A lot of it's mobile. But what it really comes down to, this is a tool that we can use. There is no other way we're going to be able to reach this large of a segment of the population in one way. And the best thing about it is that once you set it up and start doing it, it keeps on going. You don't have to keep on doing it. It's there. So again, social media, the Facebook and Twitter numbers, they're huge. We can't ignore these numbers. It's a heck of a lot of people. And I mean, I don't think anybody here can argue with me that the internet has not been an absolutely wonderful tool for us to be able to connect and get together and, you know, find out about things and get this information. But a lot of times we are speaking to the choir. We're saying the same things to the people who are going, yeah, I know, I get it. It's not us that we have to get, it's the other people, and it's also the new people who don't know where we are. So how do they help us? How do we find them? How do they find us? And that's what it comes down to. And again, this is all like the really great geeky words. We're not going to be able to do this all, but let's just get it started. So, oh, that was the one thing. I'll do that in a second. Just so I have a sense, because I figure we probably have a range, who here publishes online in one form or another, controls a website, blogs, publishes PRs? Okay, so most of us are writing and putting something online. Everybody on Facebook? Anybody not on Facebook? Okay, great. Okay, one. All right, we'll forgive you. Okay, so we have one. So that's right there, shows you numbers. Twitter users? Okay, good. So that's like good half of us. Excellent. So that's where I wanted to make sure. Like, oh, and as far as publishing, WordPress. Who's, okay, good. Who's still on Blogger? Okay, just want to make sure, because I have slides for both, and I was like, if nobody's on Blogger, we'll move off Blogger, but excellent. So, basic how search engines work. I'm going to go through this just because I'm sure some people will have a basic understanding of it, of course, already, but it's all about Google. Search engines, Yahoo, Bing, they basically follow Google, but Google is still the king. Google has been the king. Google owns everything, and if you make Google happy, everything else will be happy. So it's all about how to make Google happy. Everybody has Googled, it's searching. You know, search engine optimization is basically making sure that this stuff comes up on top. We've all done it. The basic search, when you actually do a search, just so people understand this, the top ads and the side ads are paid PPC ads. Those are, you'll see the most of the majority of adoption agency ad, pregnancy ads on that because they're paying for it. The beauty of search engine optimization is you don't pay for it except through labor. It's free. If they stop paying money, their ads go away. And most people know that those are ads, and they're not going to pay too much attention to them. Your first listings are your actual search engine. You know, those are your actual rankings according to Google. And if you could see those 2 arrows at the top, there are two ways that you get results because Google is always changing their algorithm and trying to make it better for you to find what you personally want. So there's personalized searches, which are going to be based on your other searches that you've done already on your computer. And then there are the not personalized ones, which are the global. So you'll sometimes get a different viewpoint than someone else's. So if you want to see like what is a national ranking, you go for the unpersonalized global rankings to see what things look like across the whole board. And then, of course, a reminder, Google Grants. See, that's why I put it there, so I remind me. Anybody who has a 501c, the PPC ads, Google has a program called Google Grants. And it's you have to be a 501c3. You have to go, it's about like a six-month, eight-month process to go through it. It's slightly limited.
501c4 work?
Only threes. It's only threes, and that's the why. But they will give you $10,000 of free Google ads. And they are more limited, but it's how to anybody like with the bigger ACC, Cub, anybody who's 501c, you can get those paid ads as well as having the organic listings that are based on search. Okay, I'm glad I reminded. So how does Google do this incredible thing, just so we all understand? Everyone knows what the URL is. I don't have to go like, you know, if I say URL, anybody need me to go through description of URL? Good. Okay. See, we're so advanced.
Yes, tell me.
Okay. Well, basically, every page.
Are you talking about .com?
Nope. Just the address up at the top. See where the arrow is? That thing up at the top. When you take a link, you're going to copy and paste that and put it someplace else, and that's how someone has that nice link to you. Every page has one. So every site has one. You know, there's the main.com, but then there's usually a slash to every single page. So every page that's on the internet has its own individual URL. And there is a difference on whether or not you're saying, oh, yeah, here's, you know, AmericanAdoptionCongress.org or AmericanAdoptionCongress.org/support groups. So one of them is, you know, your head, your basic domain name, which is, you know, AmericanAdoptionCongress.com, and then the other ones are your full URLs for your different pages, and they are unique. So those, there's a lot of them. Those are URLs, not domains, specific URLs, every page. So Google, it's all about indexing and crawling these index, and it's all about spiders. It was really funny last night. I had a dream about a spider in my head. And I was very upset about it. Like, I was like, oh, get the spider off my head. And I was like, wow, how like fitting is that? I'm dreaming about spiders in my head because I'm thinking about spiders because today I'm going to talk about spiders. It's all about the spiders. And what spiders really are, they're search engine spiders, and they're really just little bits of robotic text that like go off into the internet. And they literally, they crawl. I mean, it's a web, and they crawl. It's very, very cute the way they worded it all. But the spiders go from page to page, and what they follow are the links. So when someone has a link from one page to another, they will trace that link to go to another page. And what they do is they look through all the things, and they decide, oh, what's this page about? They tell Google. So think of Google like a giant filing cabinet. They have a giant database, and it's a giant filing cabinet, and the spiders tell them where to file. They're like basically glorified secretaries. And they tell Google where to put everything. And then, you know, there's the algorithms, which Google is really like neurotic about, and they change constantly. And they have all these formulas, and they're constantly trying to tweak it to make, again, the searches better for everybody. And they rank the results, which is how you get who's number one, who's number two, who's on page 12. They decide what page is going to be what it's basically about. And then they rank them, these 200 factors, which is what we're going to talk about. Not 200 of them, don't worry. And they put them in the index. And then, why is that there? Oh, right. And so these are the factors. I'm like, what does that mean? So there's tons of things that they look at that matter just over and over again. And there are people, again, that specifically will do testing on whether this matters or that matters. I mean, you can go, like, I am a minor geek when it comes to this stuff. There are people that are crazy about this, and they've studied it for years. So there's tons of stuff that matters that the spiders look at, that Google judges, that fits into the algorithm, but it doesn't matter right now because we're not going to go to all of those. I'm going to tell you about the ones that really, really, really work and that are easy and that we really should be doing. And before I even go on, I just thought of something I forgot, which is, as I said, I'm going to go through this fast, and there's no way, and don't even like worry too much about notes. And I wanted to do this beforehand, but I'm a last-minute Sally. So next week, all this, the slides, this information, more information, links to deeper information, I will have available online in a document with lots of links. You can download it and read it. You can read it online. You can copy it. You can do whatever you want. But it will. What I'll do is I'll send out a link on it. But it's probably going to be like ACC SEO, just to make it easy. So those are the only six letters. Six letters that you have to remember. And you can find that, or you could, you know, I'll put a blog post up, so you know, you can just Google Claude SEO and you'll find it. I'll make it easy. So I'm going to tell you, again, it's all about the spiders. If we make the spiders happy, we make it easy for the spiders to understand what every URL is about and what you're talking about, they will do their job properly. So it's all about them. So it's all about what do the spiders like. And my line forever has been, spiders are lazy and stupid. Now, they're busy. They have all those pages to do. And so they're very fast. They're very fast, little speedy things. And they go into into a URL, into a domain, any which one it is. They followed it from a link. And they look at it. And they look at all these different things. They're skimming it. They're basically looking at very quick things. And the things that really matter are the domain name. So, you know, your www.com, what is that? What is your title of your page? They look at images. They look at video. They look at how they're called, their names of those things. And then they look at the copy, which is very important. They can understand PDFs, but it's all about the typewritten words on the page and then how those are formatted, because this is what we see. And this is an example of, you know, I have a lot of my site stuff on here because I know it and it's SEO'd. So like this is a page about birth mothers, and I can tell you from there, you know, because, well, because I did it, but for most pages I can look at and I can tell you anyway, you know, life is a birth mother, you can see the word birth mother over and over again. Spider's going to come in here and they're going to go, whoa, what's this about? Okay, it's about birth mothers. So it's going to tell the index, oh, this page is about birth mothers. And then depending on how this is compared to other pages, Google will decide where this goes in the search results. So when someone Googles birth mother, what do they get? And what the spiders see, though, is the code, which is this. And if anybody ever wants a C code for any particular reason, you go onto a URL and you do a right click and it says view the source. This is the source code. So this is all HTML code, which really isn't as scary as it sounds, believe it or not. I've self-taught it. It's just not even, I mean, I don't write that, but I can go in there and edit stuff. The other thing that when you get a search result, which is also good, and just so everyone is familiar with these terms, the page title is what's going to show up on your result, and that is something that we control as the page title. Then you have URL name. And then there is the description, which doesn't show up on an actual page that you have someplace else, but is important because it shows up on the search results, and that is often what someone will skim themselves to say, oh, is this what I'm looking for? And the spiders also skim that and say, oh, is this what it's supposed to be looking for? So those are important things, the search result itself. And as you can see, Google likes that page, my spiders are happy, and there's our ranking for that particular page when you Google the word birth mothers. And so the other point of this is this stuff works. I could probably have gotten, like, I don't know how many adoption search things, what people search for, different things, and say, look, there I am, I rank number one. I mean, I actually get a little bit of a ego joy out of it. When I search something and I go, I own that site, I control that site, I help that site, I wrote that site, and they are all on the first page of Google. And so this stuff works, even if it's scary, it's so worth trying to understand just bits of it, because we can control the information that's out there, which means when some newbie is going and like Googling something, they're not going to find some adoption agency, they're not going to find adoption.com, they're not going to find adoptioninfo.net or, you know, some of these other ones that we don't like that give them, like, you know, fluff, and they find the real stuff. And I don't care if they find me. I want them to find you, I want them to find me, I want them to find us, because that's where they're going to get the real information and that's how these people are going to get the most help that they need. So, it's all about, as you can see, we talked about the word birth mother. In geek land, it's called a keyword. It's, for normal people, it's what they put in the search bar. It's the words that they're thinking of. And there sometimes is a disconnect between what we, and it's more often for businesses, I like to do this story where, you know, if you have a business and you do, you know, industrial-wise, you call it widgets. And you're, you know, you have all this, you've done everything about widgets and you want to sell your widgets, but everybody else in the world doesn't call it widgets, they call it doohickeys. Well, guess what? People are looking for doohickeys and you're talking about widgets, so you need to talk about doohickeys so they can find your widgets. So, And in geek world, you know, it's called keywords. So the best thing about keywords is that Google, I love them, they let us know. They will tell you what people really are searching for. And that's keyword research. And they have this wonderful tool. Yes?
It's related to doohickeys and widgets and the word or words birth mother. I have been roasted alive on social media as an adoptee using the word birth mother.
Yep. I certainly can, and that's actually, that will be one of those things. I've actually done research. In fact, I do actually get to it, but it's a wonderful example, and it was in my notes to use it. So the word birth mother is a perfect example, because I have had the same thing, and I have gone back and forth. When I was taught I was a birth mother, and when I got online, I was told, no, and I do believe that it's a horrible, you know, language is important, and I don't like the word birth mother. I really don't, and I didn't use it for a couple of years. Didn't use it for quite a few years. Did some actually, well, I don't even go into that because it's a story. So I didn't use the word birth mother. Now, when I started learning about SEO in Google, and keyword research. I actually have done the research, and I get to it later on, but it's a perfect example. In fact, is it there? Yes. Oh, see, it was. We're talking about it. I've put in all the possible terms for birth mothers into Google, and I've done this repeatedly. This is actually very recent. I did it recently just for this, so we had really accurate results. So all the possible terms of the word birth mother, so what is it that people really search for? Because I don't care what they call me, but what are they calling? You know, what are they thinking so they could find this information? That's the important thing. Just shout. Don't even raise, because I'll just not pay attention.
How do you know where the do you just type in Google keywords for adoption? How do you find out where?
It's the Google Keyword Planner is the tool. And again, you can take notes if you want to, but I have a link directly to them, and it will be available next week, all this stuff. So there's a Google Keyword tool. You need to have a Google account for it. If you have a Gmail account, you have a Google account. If you don't have a Gmail account and you don't have a Google account, you really probably should, and we'll get to that more when we get into the social media aspect of it. But really, the big three, as far as social goes, you should have Google, because Google is YouTube. Google is, you know, AdWords. Google is Google Analytics. Google is an important tool. Google Webmaster Tools, which is even higher. But it's a really good tool to have. A Google account is pretty much necessary online. So if you don't have one, make a Google account. Google Plus, it's just important. So Google Keyword Tool, it's a free tool. It's actually for AdWords, which is for the paid ads. So mine always says, your AdWords account is not set up. I don't care. I don't want that. I just use the planner. But you know, if you do PPC, then it's in there and you need it. But so it's the Google AdWord tool, Google Keyword Planner. Get back to birth mother. So I searched, I put in all these words, and I said, okay, Google, these are all these words about that could possibly be the word birth mother. You know, how is it going to come out? And it gives you this tons of results, which that's what it looks like. And we don't need all of that. This is the important part of it, and I've sorted it already. So as you can see, so what we see here is the average monthly searches. So that is an actual number, and it's averaged over a year of people, the number of people who actually will type in the word birth mother separate into Google. And as you can see, there's 390 of them. It actually has flipped, which is why I'm glad I'm doing the research. I redid the research because it used to be the one word. We're making progress. It's two words now. One day we will not have to use the word birth mother. We're not there yet. This is why we're not there yet. It's now two words. That's the most searches. 390 people in the U.S. per month will just search for the word birth mother alone in Google. Biological mother is always number two. You can see the numbers are very high for that. Then we go into the one-word version of birth mother. Google understands the one-word, two-word. It does see it as both in the search results. So you can go either or depending on your preference. We've actually gotten it to the point that Google, no, separate words rank higher now, but they do see both words. Then we get, you know, birth mom, lost mother, natural mother. First mother is actually finally making it on the list. It used to be zero. Like 2 years ago, it was zero. There's actually searches now for first mother. Then you have the other ones, bio mother, you know, exiled mother. Some of these are just, you know, they're just, there are words. Nobody uses them. So you could write about, you know, a relinquishing mother. And I use that term. It's not doing anything. No one's looking for it. And that's the thing. So you could write about it if it feels good, politically correct. But why are you writing? Why are you putting this information out there? Is it for you? Is it for the crickets? Or is it because you want people to see it? If you want people to see it, I have to tell you, Google right now is still telling us we got to use the word birth mother. I won't tell you to do that because I know how heated it is. But the facts say, if depending on your goal, if the goal is big, do it.
So if this community wanted to encourage more use of birth mother, would it be helpful
use both. Yes, we can train Google. Yes, we can. And this is the kind of thing, and this is why I'm so excited to talk to all of us, because if we all do that, Google will learn faster. And so will also the rest of the population. So, you know, the more we interchange, and Google is about synonyms. It used to be much more, like 5 years ago, it was like really hardcore SEO stuff. And you used a keyword all over the place. Now it's much more natural usage, so you don't have to be really anal about it, but you can flip back and forth. You can have them one word and then two words. I mean, I use, you know, mothers who relinquish a lot and relinquishing mothers a lot. I don't really, first mother for me never like clicked, but that's just me. So I don't use it often. I probably should actually, so we can train the Google. And, you know, we can commit to doing that together. It's all good. They are actual real results. Again, it's like, you know, it's like OBC facts. You know, you can't fight it. It's the truth. It's just there. And I've done more research on it before, like overall general terms, what people look at. And again, these are all going to be available later, so you don't have to worry about it. Most adoption searches, the greater majority of them, 67%, have the word adoption in it. So the word adoption for us, I mean, we're easy in some ways because the keyword research is really simple because these are words that we use anyway. These are words that we use naturally. So it's not like we have to use, not widgets, but the other one. We don't have to train ourselves to use a completely different word. It's very close to our natural language. It's just doohickeys. Thank you. I was like, what were they called? Like, not flibbity-gibbets. So it's really, it's much easier. It's very natural that this, what the words are, what the keyword research is. And again, I was going to have it as a handout, but it was killing too many trees. I will do a massive, and it won't be till next week because I have things, but it will be a massive actual piece of the research, cleaned up, simplified, which I'll make available to everybody. And I will have them separate, like, here are search terms. Here are reunion terms. So you will actually have a document that you can look at and say, oh, this is the biggest search term for this particular thing. And, you know, I'll expand it. So, and it will be a big, fat spreadsheet, but it will be accessible and easy and will kind of, you know, you don't have to do the research. I'll give it to you.
Are you going to post this on AAC's site or your site?
I'll host it on mine, so I'll publish it on mine, but I'll definitely put it on the ACC page.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it will be findable. Yes, and they're this big.
I love what they are.
And one of the things, I mean, and honestly, this is the kind of thing, and I should probably say this earlier, I'm very accessible. Anybody who doesn't know how accessible, I mean, like, I sometimes be like, oh my God, I have 12 messages on Facebook. Poke me, find me, email me, hit me up on Facebook, tweet me. I'm really easy. If you don't hear from me like back in like 3 days with like some excuse, poke me again because I do get distracted. And I'm fine. Like, I appreciate being reminded that I'm lame. That's why the blog is called that. My name means lame. I get very, but poke me and, you know, quick questions. I mean, even more expansive questions, I'm good with. So just, you know, ask. Political correctness, I think, is something the room can decide.
Right.
Search-wise, that would be something. And if you think of a weird term, or you're like, oh, I want to, you know, I want to look at this, and oh, what is the results for that? What are the words? Just hit me up because I can do keyword research like really, really quick, and be like, oh, you want to use this, this, and this, and I can just easily do that.
Usually, when I start out a paragraph, I'll do the first as birth mom, knowing like what you just said. But then further in, then I'll do B mom or A mom.
Yeah, exactly.
In the text.
Yeah, no BM. We don't want Google to know that. I don't know how it actually results. My thinking is that it probably doesn't do much because when you do the actual keyword research, Google will also say, oh, you looked at this? Well, you might be interested in this too. These are words that are relatable, and sometimes it's actually really amazing. You're like, oh, I never even thought about that. And that's what people are searching for. Like, you know, if you're looking for the widgets and you're like, oh my God, doohickeys, Google will know that people who search for widgets really want doohickeys. Like, Google knows if you're looking for, you know, birth mom, this is what you're looking for. I mean, there are some terms that are weird. You look at them, like, I was doing keyword research once for pillows, and what was it? There was, it kept on coming up, like, these really high search results for the keywords fluffy pillows. And I'm like, oh, what's that all about, fluffy pillows? So I wasn't sure what Google meant. And I looked it up, and I had a client, so thank God I did. So I looked up and Googled fluffy pillows to see what Google meant, fluffy pillows, and apparently it was a porn star really big.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's not an appropriate keyword. But sometimes keyword research will really expand your target market, you know, and it will say, oh, I need to think about these terms too. And these are good terms to use. And then it also gets really, damn, I'm going slow. All right. it will all be online. They'll also get really, really technical, and then we'll get like what's called long-term keywords. So like adoption is called a head term. It's just an overall big umbrella. And of course, there's tons of searches for adoption, but there's also tons of results for adoption. But then, you know, you can get very long specific, and they're longer, and there's less searches, but you can rank better for them because there's much less competition on it. So, like, I'll use, you know, longer titles that are very, very specific, like questions, like how to find your adoptee in Ohio. And, like, that will only be for the people that are actually looking for that, but that's what need to find that. So that's why it's important. You know, you want to make that easy. So writing it all out, and this is like, okay, if we don't get to the social media part, this will be all right. It won't really, but anyway. The keywords and URLs are really, really important. So what you name your URL, like what the domain name is, what you choose it is really super important because that's one of the things that majorly look, that majorly rank. And this is actually real stats from my blog. And when I started it in 2005, I didn't know any of this stuff. And I thought I was really cool. And Musings of the Lame was a really great, fun name. And once I learned SEO, I was like, wow, it's like the worst name ever. Because it has nothing to do with adoption. And if you don't know to look for Musings of the Lame, I mean, Musings of the Lame Duck come up. I mean, like other words that, you know, have nothing to do with adoption, you're not going to find me. So I made the change in 2013 is when I switched over to adoptionbirthmothers.com. Now, the name of my site is still Musings of the Lame. I still own Musings of the Lame. You Google Musings of the Lame, it goes to Musings of the Lame. So I didn't lose it. You can name your stuff whatever, but the URL is different. And that is when I send a link, this is what it's attached to. And as you can see, the orange lines are Musings of the Lame's results. The blue lines are adoptionbirthmother.com results. And as you can see, which one brings in more traffic, therefore which who, you know, what is more useful as a tool, obviously the better. So don't, you know, if you're talking about adoption corruption, that's what you're going to write about, use that in the domain name, even if that's not the fancy, you know, name that you want to have. You know, get the longer names because and host on the longer names. So my whole site is built on adoptionbirthmothers.com. I own a ton of other URLs, and they point to different places. So you could Google them, you could put them in your browser, they'll go to where they need to go, but it's living, the site is living on Adoption Birth Mothers. Does that make sense to everybody?
So I just want to...
Yes.
Where do you buy, are you buying all these extra sites, or are you getting them like Wix free, or...
No, I don't do Wix. No. You're buying, there's a difference between a site, hosting, how you build it, where you build it, what program you used to build it, and then your domain name.
Right.
So like most people buy domain names from GoDaddy. I move them off GoDaddy. I host my site, so everything that I build lives on Bluehost. That is my hosting company. So they have all my site files. And the domain names, I can, you know, I move them from there, but I usually buy mine through Bluehost. But like if there was one only available on something else, like on GoDaddy, I would buy it on GoDaddy and I would point it to a page on my site. So there's a difference between hosting, where it lives, and the domain name. You can buy 30 domain names and never do anything with them. They don't go anywhere.
You buy them in order
to point
the
them. Yes.
To where to Musings for the Lame.
Exactly.
So I'm with New York State Citizens Coalition for Children.
Yes.
Children.
Yes.
Is, you know, really big.
New York State Adoption Information.
Well, this is what yeah. My question is, because that is like, should we change your name? Not change your name, okay? Is it better if we just get it in a different URL? We can keep our old URL.
Yes.
And get a new URL.
Move the site to the new URL.
What? Okay. Move the site to the new URL.
Move the site to the new URL that's keyword rich. Keep your name. Keep the domain. Don't change even what it looks like. It's just where it lives. The actual domain URL is what you want to have good, strong keywords in.
So what she wants to do, does she just add another page, which is the URL?
Or nope.
Should she get a new domain name?
She's talking about getting a new domain name,
okay.
Moving all the stuff that lives on the old domain name, You move it to the new domain name, so you're actually moving files.
You seem to use URL and domain name interchangeably, unless I'm hearing it
wrong. Well, domain name is your www.name.com.
Right.
That's a domain. You buy that. They're about $10, unless you're getting exotic. They're $10. You know, that's the domain name.
Through GoDaddy.
Yeah, GoDaddy, Bluehost, whatever. Any name buyer that's the domain name. Now, unless you have a one-page site, you have other pages. So your URL is the long string, which does contain the domain name. So it's where the domain, like what the domain name is, and then, you know, you can have those living there.
So they don't need another domain name. They just need new pages with URLs.
Not really. It's not the way it works. We'll talk about it after, because I don't want to get stuck on it, but I can explain better without, yeah. More of a drawing thing. In any case, so the domain name, what you buy originally, try to get some keywords in there with ours. Again, they're easy. They're adoption related. Don't get exotic. Don't get fun.
Aren't you starting over then with trying to get your name up to the top of that list? Because now you have a brand new name.
Yes.
No hits on it.
This is true, but look at the numbers. That's how much I've gone up since I switched. And I still have the domain name, so I still have Musings of Lame. So people that still look for Musings of Lame will still find Musings of Lame.
It'll just send people who go there. It
sends it to the URL, and you know, so where the site lives. Like I have like probably like 12 different ones pointing to different pages. You know, like Musings of Lame now goes to the actual blog homepage, where the domain name itself of Adoption Birth Mothers. You know, that's a homepage. So you will see different things. You know, then I have like New York Hudson Valley Adoption Support. That goes to the Hudson Valley Adoption Support page. But the Adoption Support page is Adoption Birth Mothers Hudson Valley Adoption Support. And if that's, I can go over that. I don't want to get stuck on that because we still have so much more. Page titles, which again is kind of the same thing. So that's the, you know, www.com/the other words. The other words also matter. So with this, like I say, if you're writing about, you know, adoption grief and loss, you call it adoption grief and loss. You don't say pushing through the mist of time. Because guess who's going to find that page then? Is people searching for through the mist of time? Like, who are they? Those are not the people you want. You want to write about grief, you know, you want to write long-term law, whatever it is, you know, Ohio's new adoption law, don't call it, you know, yay, Ohio's the best state ever, you know, because you're not going to get that, the spiders are not going to know what the page is about, and it's really, we're doing this about the spiders. What are they going to see? They look at the page names, you know, this is my adoptee rights page, it's hosted on my site, it's called /adoptee rights. And so, therefore, it's ranks for adoptee rights. And that's the goal. And so, basically, you know, on WordPress, the title's really easy. It's something we control naturally. Everybody who posts anything, you control the title of your page without blinking an eye. This is like the simplest thing ever. You know, that's your title. And Blogger, that's your title. That's your page title. Use good keywords in it. Don't get exotic. And targeting with titles can be very strong. So even if your URL is not specifically for that, you can get very granular with your titles and very specific to different searches. So, you know, like these are two, birth mother gift baskets is a perfect example. I was like, oh, look at all these people with their birth mother gift baskets. None of us did. I want to rank for birth mother gift baskets because I don't want people to get to Blessings in a Basket, which is attached to, you know, Birth Mother Ministries, and they're like Kool-Aid drunkies. So I wanted to target it. So I worked, you know, I looked up and did my keyword research on Birth Mother Gift Baskets, and it's Adoption Gift and Birth Mother Gift Baskets, and I use that as the title, and I optimize the post for that, and it ranks for that. And so you can use titles, even if you don't do big things on the site, even if you keep your URL the same, your domain the same, use your titles. Headers and subheaders are also so important. And this is just slight visual formatting. It's just a way of relearning or adding new tools to your toolbox on how you write. A perfect example is, you know, English class 101, you learn that, you know, Mrs. Schwartz, if you don't give her an introduction and three paragraphs and a conclusion, she's not going to give you a good grade on that. So, you know, journalism, who, what, where, why. When you're writing for anything online, headers and subheaders are so very important. Because you're writing for people, so you want it to make sense and you want it to look good, but you also remember the spiders. And so, technically, in code, it's called your H tags. H2 are your subtitles. It's not going to make sense for a minute. Hold on. And what it looks like on this end is, you know, so this is a page. I can't even see what page it is. So for my father's rights page, and you can see it talks about father's rights. That's your, the fatter, bolder letters. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, but you, of course, you want it to look pretty because, you know, you have readers and you want them to know. But it's breaking up your copy with different size texts. But it's not just doing it with the visual tools. It's doing it with the formatting tools, which is what the spiders look for. When the spiders skim the page, they look to see what's in those H tags. And H1 is usually your title of your page. And most sites at this point in time are set up for that. So the spider knows your page title is the most important. H2 is lesser important. H3 is underneath that. So if you're writing something about, in general, you know, adoption issues, you call the page adoption issues. That's your H1. Your first subtitle, which is usually, I use it like for my first line. It's not an introduction. It's just like another title page. You know, adoption issues for adoptees, adult adoptees in reunion. So I'm getting more granular. Then, you know, I do introductory paragraph with that, and then I might say, you know, can't find shoes, you know, don't know what their face looks like is a common adoption issue. So I'm repeating the word adoption issue, but I'm getting more specific, and as I go down, my formatting gets less important, but it tells the spider overall, when it skims the page, oh, this is about adoption issues. And that's the whole idea. So your headers and subheaders in Google, so I do all my writing in Word, and I use the Word formatting. And it's really much easier because you can see those little arrow boxes up at the top. You might have to play around with your settings a little bit, but it will already say, oh, you want this to be your H1, you want this to be your H2. So you just highlight the line, you say, this is my H2. It doesn't matter what color it is, what font it is, what size it is. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when I move it over to my site, I copy and paste it, my formatting is already in there. And literally, if you guys do go home and write and think about your page titles with keywords and add subheaders, your ranks will just, like, you will be found so much more. That's like a 50% right there. So, you know, I just put it in there, and then manually, you can highlight something, like if you prefer to write in that or you move your formatting and you want to change it, you can just highlight it. And then on WordPress, there's little, it says like paragraph text right there. It will say heading one, heading two. So it's just, oh, I want this to be my H2. Oh, this one to be H3. And you can just highlight it and put it in there. In Blogger, it's slightly different. In Blogger, they call it a heading and a subheading. So again, highlight it. Change your formatting. You know, it's just like in a magazine, it'll be like, and you know, they have a little subheader on it. And most of the time, I just skim them myself. It's not taking away, and what I'll do often is I'll write, and then I'll say, oh, wait, let me break up my, you know, every couple of paragraphs, I'll put a subheader in just for the spiders. Doesn't seem like it makes the people upset, but man, it makes the spiders so happy. And this is what the spiders see. And if you want to do code, it's literally, you know, the title of the post is H1, you know, and there it is. It's brackets with an H1, closed bracket H2. I'm not going to go into code because I know it's scary. It's easy. But that's what the spiders look at. This kind of document is, again, I'll have all this stuff available. So then when we're actually writing, again, use the words. And what I like to say with this is real nouns are our friends. They, it, pronouns, no. And I will go back to my writing and I will edit it and I'll be like, they, who's they? Adoption agencies are they. Like, I get very specific. Now, you can, you know, so this is like an example of someone writing, but it's, you can see the same word is used over and over again. And I have, do I have time for a little story? No, probably not. We're going to skip that story. Anyone want to hear the Loman story later? I'll tell you. So again, it's called keyword density. It's most important at the top in your like introduction. So again, back to English 101, the beginning and the end, so your conclusion, introduction, your conclusion, most important in there, but sprinkle them throughout. Just try not to use pronouns, really. I mean, like, you want to use hard nouns. And there is definitely, you can overdo it. So, you know, you don't want to make it unbearable for your people that are reading it to be like, yeah, okay, I understand, adoption this, adoption that, adoption this. And we normally do that. We're normally keyword heavy anyway. So it's really not that much more. It's not that much more technical in the editing. So we don't want to do that. No bueno. Image naming is another really important thing. And I'm going to start going a little bit faster. And again, it will all be in more detail. What you call the image. So like, I'm really big on, because they show up in search. And especially for like adoptee searching images, I have a whole different post on that, like how to do that properly. Because you want to make sure that if someone's searching for a birthday, they can find this image. And this is like a really good example, because it shows up for that image. You can see the words and it's there. So when you're saving an image online, like I'm really good at like finding stuff and then I save it to my computer and then I upload it and use it again. Whatever the name was, like when you save it, like whatever they call it, you name the thing. If I'm writing a post on birth mother grief and I find a picture of a mother and a baby, I'm not going to let it be called, you know, stock photo, mother, baby, black and white. I'm going to call it dealing with birth mother grief when I save it on my computer. That is the file name. The file name matters. I make it specific. And then when I put it up on my site, there's all captions. They're okay. Description of the image, that's okay. The alternate text is another thing that spiders pay attention to. So you want to do, again, name it specific about what you're writing. And it reminds me, one important thing, spiders, again, they're lazy, they're stupid, they're easily confused. They like one topic. And again, we're pretty good on this. But when you're saying, like, you know, like a really good example, I used to do this fashion blog writing, and they used to write about spring trends. And I'd be like, okay, trends is just so generic, and then they have like, you know, leopard print and denim and this and that. And I'd be like, can we talk about one trend at a time? Just think one trend at a time. Talk about denim as a summer trend, because that's what people are going to search for, and you want it to rank for denim as a summer trend. You don't want it to rank for trends in general, because there's 1,000 ones for those. So again, get specific. If you're talking about, you know, shoes, make it about black shoes. You know, if you're talking about adoption, well, what kind of adoption? They're very big. Get specific. Keep things on topic. When you are writing, the other thing, because it is very copy-heavy, content is important. Google likes over 500 words. I know for some people that's a challenge. For me, it's not. But the more you copy, you write, the better. You have more ability to put more keywords in it, so more content. People got very simplified for a while, and they wanted things to be clean. Clean is the enemy of SEO. You want writing. You need copy, not images are important because they look at those too, but you need actual words because that's what the spiders look for with the formatting and everything. If you're on WordPress, I'm going to go over this really, really fast. Get the all-in-one SEO plugin. Get an SEO plugin. Do this. You control your title again. You get to control that description, which again is what shows up when someone does search, and you get to put specific keywords in here. There are some professionals that will say the keywords don't matter as much. It's still, I think, really good practice. It's a great tool. I highly recommend it. I do it custom for every single page that I put up online. And I manage a lot of sites, so I do this. Everyone has it, and it works. So this is, again, a quick image of just things that are important to remember, where to put things. Again, all this will be available. You don't have to go crazy writing these all down, but it's there. So these are the big ones of what spiders like. We're going to go to linking now, which is also very important, because you want to link to other places. In our community, there has been a resistance over the years for people to share information from other sites. Oh, well, this is what we have over here. Well, that's them. We don't want people to go to them. That hurts us as a community. I cannot make that strong enough. That hurts us as a community. The ACC linking to CUB is good. Vice versa. Even if you don't agree with them, it is good because as every page rank grows, we have more power in that page. Google pays more attention to that page. So, like, if I link to something that's relevant, it's important. I'm giving basically links to the currency of the internet. Go.
So, even if I'm ranting about someone saying something really stupid and I don't want them to get page gross, I should still link to them?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Never. Then just never, ever, ever do this. For more information, click here. Do not use here unless you don't like them. If you don't like them, if you're linking to an agency that you hate or you're linking to someone who you think is a jerk blog post and you don't want to help their SEO, then you do here. But if you like them, you do not do here. So I'll just go back to this for a second. Like, this is an example. I'm linking to Adoption Network Cleveland. I'm linking about the opening day ceremony. I do not say click here. I say the whole words. You know, this is the opening night ceremony, whatever it is, because I can't read from here, but you probably can't read it either. But it's a very long link. It's very specific. Ohio, you know, Adoption Network Cleveland, Ohio opening ceremony is the hyperlink of that link. And then it links not to just Adoption Network Cleveland. It links to the specific page that is about the opening ceremonies. Very specific. This link goes to there. Yes, in linking, and that's so different kinds of links. There's in links. There's in links in your site where you're linking to other pages. Again, a very specific tool. When I link to any of my birth mother pages, I'm using the word birth mother. When I'm linking, anytime the word adoptee rights shows up in my blog, it links to the adoptee rights page. That's in linking, and it's an internal structure, and it does help the SEO overall in general. It does all these good things.
Don't use the word here.
Never here. Ever here. It's one of my pet peeves. The other one is, if you're writing a new blog post, it's a blog post. You're not writing a new blog. The blog is the whole thing. The post is a specific. The page is a specific. You're not writing a new blog. It drives me crazy. But anyways. And then outlinking is when you link to someone else. And again, as we all grow, as everyone's site gets more important to Google and goes up the rankings, you have link juice, and that juice is shared to everybody that you link with. And it's called link juice. It really is. It's link juice, and you're sharing your link juice. So you're giving basically another website like credit or points, saying, I think my site is valuable, and I think that your site is valuable too. And the spiders pay attention to that. If I am a crappy site and I'm linking to a good site, they're not going to care. Now, if a good site links to a crappy site, Google spiders might actually think the crappy site is a little bit better than it was. So as we all move up together, we all get each other stronger. It's just so, linking is good. Link freely. You only have to do one per page. Like if I say ACC and I'm talking about them, like when I do a conference post, I only have to link once because that's the juice goes over. You don't have to link every single time unless you're linking to a different site. So a different URL, link differently. Linking is vitally important. This goes into the specific of linking of other pages, which we've already talked about. Use specific words, use keywords to link to. Now, how do I know what the other page is, what they're trying to do? What are they trying to rank for? So, you know, you want to link with a purpose. So, obviously, again, this is the Adoption Network Cleveland opening ceremonies. It was very obvious what the words were for me. When in doubt, use the title. And if you're linking Insight, you can keep it to the same page. If you're linking to another site, always check open in a new window because you want them to stay on your site. So, you know, if they're on Musings of the Lame and they want to click to Adoption Network Cleveland, great. It's open on another page. So now they have both open. We both get dings in our traffic. Win, win, win. It's a good thing. And then linking within your site, this again, if you want to get more technical, we're lucky because adoption kind of breaks out very specifically. You can break out the way that you're linking. The technical word for this is silos. There's a lot of research available for that, a lot of information. It gets very, very, there's people that like study this like abnormally a lot. For us though, it's, you wanna use your big terms at top. So like adoption is the general term. Adoption's easy, we can split it up. This is an example, you know, split it up that way and then you can get more specific as you go down. So if adoption is like, you know, the name of the URL in some way or form, and then you have your main menu, you know, your actual tabs, whatever it is you want to call them, your pages. You know, maybe it's domestic adoption, you know, international adoption. And then you can get even more specific. Maybe then you use your categories. So using those things strategically also helps. you know, you can get down into, okay, private, you know, agency, etc. There's many different ways that we can do this. You know, you can split it up by triad members. The idea is that you want to be able to use your internal structures. You know, I can see it here better. This is actually what a link looks like. Again, getting more specific. I'm not looking for that, though. Backlinking. No, I'm going to go back for a second. Back to that. So how you set up your categories. These are, again, tools when you're writing. Your category structure, don't just go willy-nilly. Think about it. You know, a category. What category is it? Like, I have specific categories. Birth parents are a category. And under that, there are subcategories that break it down into. Adoptee rights is a category, and then it breaks down into subcategories. And then we have tags, or what is on Blogger called labels. Those get even more specific. Don't try to control those, though, because those pages actually sometimes will rank better for those terms. So, you know, if you're using, you know, say you have a tag that's, you know, National Council for Adoption, and then you have a tag that's, you know, the NCFA, well, that makes sense because people will both search for those terms. But you don't need, like, you know, adoptees. You know, you don't need to have the same term repeated because then you'll have multiple rankings and that dilutes the rankings. You want to try to keep things focused. And that's, so it's, when you think about how to set it up, and this is more if you're setting up an original, you know, going from original, but you can actually go back and clean up your categories and say, oh, wait, let's kind of put them together more. Let's, I like, my categories are keyword, like, specific. And then they break down more. I'm going to pass over this because it's just about, like, how to, well, actually... So when you're linking to someone else and you're not sure, but you want to give them some link juice, look at the title. The title of the actual page is going to give you a good indication of maybe what you should use for your hypertext, which is actually in there. Oops, wrong way. You can code those. So, like, this is the actual code. One of the best things you can do is, like, commenting. So even something like, you know, all the Ohio newspaper articles say, you know, New York wants to capitalize on Ohio for some reason. We want to help improve our rankings. We can actually do that. Every time there's a newspaper article about, you know, Ohio, someone can go in and comment, and they can drop a link to, oh, my God, and we're doing this, too, in New York State. We're also fighting for adoptee rights. So, you know, it would be the URL to the page and say, you know, fighting for adoptee rights in New York State would be the words that are clickable. And so that actually, because the spiders will come and look at that, and they look at the words that are the actual hypertext. So that's why the word here is not good, because you don't want to rank for here. Here doesn't tell the spiders anything. But the spiders will go, oh, this link says it's about, you know, New York State adoptee rights. And, oh, it goes to a page that's called New York State adoptee rights. And it's from Ohio adoptee rights. And therefore, it's much more relevant. And it carries more weight. And the spiders will realize it's more important. Articles are great. Commenting on other blogs is great. It's really dropping. I call it dropping link. And sometimes I'll have, like, the same, like, this is just a quick trick. If I'm trying to do something specific, I will have something on a Word document that's all coded, that's pretty much there, and I'll go and Google and try to find all the different articles, and then I'll go and I'll drop links. I mean, it's strategic. You can link strategically in order to move up your rankings.
So, Claudia, like, at this point, all of ours are pretty much on Facebook, but we need to get them somehow on our website, is what you're saying, so that this can all happen.
The articles?
I mean, they, you know, where we've posted them, just as I get the Google alerts that they're happening, I put them all on my Facebook page and Adoption Network's Facebook page.
You're good on that. That's like a different. Maybe this would be more clear. Going back to the adoption, my birth mother gift page. The one thing I did, it's optimized for a couple of different key terms, but I don't do very well on the words adoption gifts. I'm number 15. Same page, and the same page can rank for different things. So it does great on birth mother gifts. It doesn't do so great on adoption gifts. So what I would do for something like this, if I said, well, I want to raise the ranks for adoption gifts, what I would do is I would write something that had the word adoption gifts in it that was like a comment or, you know, just a paragraph, a couple of lines. I would have it linking to the page with the word adoption gifts. Then I would Google adoption gifts and see who else is ranking. And I would open those pages. And if I could comment on those pages and put that link there, I will. Oh, no. I used to get paid professionally to do that. But we can do that. I mean, so literally, like, if everybody went out tomorrow in this room and made a link someplace that used the word adoption gifts and linked to my birth mother gift page, This will not be at number 15 within a month. I promise you that. I used to get paid to do this stuff. I used to do it for hours.
When you're doing the comment, are you using the word adoption gift and then doing a hyperlink so they don't see the actual
URL? They don't see. Yeah, they don't see the URL.
Can you do hyperlinks in comments?
You can. Yes.
Yes.
You can. Blogger and WordPress will take hyperlinks in comments. That is why anybody who blogs, you get crappy blog spam that doesn't make any sense, that talks about Jimmy Choo shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are SEO professionals trying to improve the rankings for Jimmy Choo shoes. Just delete that shit. Oops. So that's like, that's what a link is, like the actual code of the link, like to drop it. Like that's what you have copy and paste. And sometimes I like have that copy paste, and then I'll just write a couple words before, write a couple words after, send it away, and that's basically your link building. It's a technical term. You can get paid for it. It's crazy. Good, we got to social media. And we're totally running out of time. Okay, so traffic sources, social media, really important. Your website should be your central hub of everything. You want to publish most of your stuff on your website. Then from there, you bring it to social media. The website, you do it there. That is yours. That is your traffic. You want people to come to you. But Facebook, without a doubt, traffic comes from all different places. It's actually stats from my site. Most of my traffic does come from organic, which means that it's search stuff. But then you can see the social media searches come in, direct searches. And this is actually Google Analytics, which is free. And it's, again, it's a Google tool. And this is where I get these fantastic numbers from. Anybody can have Google Analytics. It takes 5 seconds. There's a WordPress plugin. There's a Blogger plugin. So good. But when you get into it, direct traffic means someone who's typing in, musings of the lame. And then referral traffic is like, you know, Sue's, I get traffic from Sue's, Sue's blog links to me. You know, this is how we see traffic coming from other people, from, you know, our friends. And that's why it's good to link to each other. But as you can see, when it comes down to Facebook, Facebook traffic is really strong. Twitter, not so much. Facebook is huge. So you publish on your website, then you share it on Facebook. Then let it go from there. My site, these are tools. You don't have to go crazy. And it sounds like, okay, now you got to do this, now you got to do this. Do one at a time. Work it into your system. Feel comfortable about it. And then you add something else. You don't have to go out tomorrow and do 7,000 things. The writing, please. But this part, not so much. So my stuff, and I have different tools, and that will, again, get more specific because we're going through here now. But I have an RSS feed, which is very important, good stuff. I use FeedBurner for that. So when I publish anything on my site, it goes to the RSS feed. The RSS feed spits it out to Twitter, and it tweets automatically. It becomes an email blast that goes out once a month in case anybody missed it to my email list. And then it also will go to Facebook. When I publish anything, it also goes to Facebook because I use network blogs. So it automatically goes to my page on Facebook. Facebook will go and tweet for me automatically, which I have. And then I also have a plugin that makes it go to Google Plus. And then I have a plugin because I have a Tumblr account, but I don't bother doing Tumblr, so everything just goes over to Tumblr. So I write one blog post, and it goes out to all these different things. I will tweet 4 times automatically, and I don't have to do it. So there are tools that make it easy. Use the tools. There are lots of them. If there's something specific that you're like, oh, can it do this? Yes, usually it can. Ask me. There's so much in here.
I'm always afraid that when I put something up, I really haven't thought it through well enough, and I'm going to look like an asshole.
No. It's harder because you're an organization, and it's harder because you're representing. If it's harder to be representing something, and that's why I don't work for brands anymore, because they would be like freak out over a tweet that had a misspelling in it. My mode on that one, is anyone going to die? No. I look like an asshole all the time. So, well, whatever. It's me.
Just make noise.
Just make noise. Really, I mean, the people that are going to criticize, you misspelled it. Whatever. Go away. I'm busy. And you can go back and edit stuff. Yeah, you can go back and edit stuff. But, you know, once it's out there, and the other thing, guys, please, you all know, once you put it online, you do not control it anymore. There is no privacy online. And please, just nobody here think that. You put it out there. The idea is to put it out there and get it out there as far as possible. Then let it go. Move on to something else. That's how I operate.
Could you storify one of the things that I think has been semi-successful in Ohio is having all the social media forums to storify?
Yes.
It's a little harder than we thought it was going to be, but it's a great place to collect.
Storify is really good, and then I have Listly is my favorite, which Listly, I get onto it at the very end. So yeah, making Facebook happy, again, just like Google, Facebook has an algorithm. There are people who study the Facebook algorithm. The Facebook algorithm does change. There are ways to manipulate the Facebook algorithm. That is something that every single person in this room can do because we're all on Facebook except for you. This is, you know, these are the things that the Facebook algorithm likes. Again, don't worry about taking notes. You could Google it and it will be available. But what it really comes down to it, this is what we need to do on the stuff that's adoption related. Comment it. Commenting means the most. Even if you just say, that's so great, it works. Longer comments are even better. But to keep things on top of the news feed, you every time somebody does something, it jumps to the top of the news feed, which means that more people see it. The social media, Twitter and Facebook, are a stream. So think of it as a river and it goes down. And then you move it to the top of the river again every time there's an action. So every time there's a retweet, every time there's a like, you're moving it to the top of the river, and people are standing on the side of the river, and they see it go by again. And then you move it to the top, and then they see it go by again. Otherwise, you're doing it, and it goes by once, and then it's gone, which is why it doesn't matter if you look like an asshole, because it's gone, unless they bring it back to the top of the river again, because they're really mad. But sometimes when they're really mad, hey, you know, bad publicity sometimes can get you doing. It's called link bait. You know, I'm snarky sometimes for a purpose. Sometimes offending people. Sometimes I offend people on purpose because I know that it's going to keep on going down the stream. And then more people see it and they see what the information is. Link bait's a term. Like, you know, Justin Bieber has AIDS, you know, whatever. We can't reuse that in adoption land. But, you know, like something like that would get a lot of attention. That's why, like, kitten photos. Use the kitten, manipulate the kitten photos, people. We can use these things. So commenting, very important. Liking a post. I am like the craziest liker. I'm sure if anybody, I've liked your stuff. I like, oh, you're adopted. Like. And I will do something like, you know, if 30 people have shared something, like, you know, oh, I tried, like, you know, the adoption network stuff. Like. Oh, who else shared it? Posts from other users. Who else did it? Oh, 7 of us like. If I'm really good, and I don't always do this, it's not, you're not going to get penalized if you don't do it, because I don't do all this stuff all the time either. But when you can, and if you're really specific, you're like, this is important to me, it's important to them, I want it to work. Comment, like things, tagging people. Again, you know, I'll get to that, sharing things. Sharing is good, and share from the source if you can. So if Betsy puts something out on Adoption Network Cleveland, I don't want to get the URL again. I want to share from Adoption Network Cleveland. And not every page and not every person will let you do that, depending on privacy settings. That's one of the reasons why all my stuff is completely, completely public, and I let anybody do anything. So if you have a page and you want people to read it, get rid of your privacy settings. And you don't have to do that on your profile, but you can do it on pages. Let people tag stuff. Let people interact. Try not to control it. The less you control it, the better it will work, because it makes Facebook happy. These are more good habits. Make pages, because your personal profile, you can control more. Control your friends, control. Make pages, make your pages public. Pages work better. They're publicly searchable. Groups are good for events, but if you really want something public, you want to make a page. Use the event listing tool on Facebook. It's really good because you can invite people to specific things. I do a lot of virtual events as just a means of making sure that people know that something's happening. You know, oh, join this event and share this thing because it's important. And I invite, like, I'll sit there. I'll be on the phone. I'll be like, invite. Yes, I've invited all of you people at one point or another to something that I wanted you to do. And it was really something I wanted you to do online. But, you know, when I have a party, you can come too. It's cool. Use the at tags. So, you know, when I am sharing something from Adoption Network Cleveland, I do my little at tag and I start typing Adoption Network Cleveland and it comes up. And then they're linked and they're notified that I'm talking about them, which, you know, is great for like adoption searches, you know, at such and such hospital, in such and such city, in this place, you know, at, you know, oh, at this agency, or, you know, whatever it is, I use those at, you know, political people, people who have pages, you know, at your, you know, your senator, da-da-da-da-da, because his people will see that and see that you're talking about that. So it's important. Use your at tag, and you can do, like, I think it's like 6 or 9 in every one status update. So you can at tag people, like anything that is a specific person who has a page on Facebook, tag them. And Facebook, the other thing that's really great about pages on Facebook is, and I can say, it's not worth telling everybody, but, you know, if you need to do it, it's great. I do it as I'll take, like, a page, like, on my adoptee rights bills to support in 2015. You know, I have, oh, well, here's the page for Texas. And you can take the code and embed it in your website. So it's right there. So if someone wants to like the page, they can just hit do it. They can like the page on my site. They can like every page on, you know, my site. Like, they don't have to go to Facebook and like it. They can just like it right there, and it works. So use those things, because Facebook also likes it when things are embedded. Again, comment. On blogs, especially WordPress, put your Facebook connection plugins in so people can use Facebook to log in. There are different tools. Facebook is, I personally find, the best one. There's like Discus. There are other tools, but Facebook is great because most people have a Facebook login, and when they comment on your blog, then they're also getting their Facebook page. So again, you're getting more sharing. It's really just good stuff. Everything I do on Facebook automatically goes to Twitter. If you want to connect your Facebook and Twitter accounts, it's so stupid easy. Be logged in on Facebook, be logged in on Twitter, go to facebook.com/Twitter. It will say, oh, you want to log into Facebook? And you say Twitter, you say yes, and you can connect your accounts. And every time you post something on a page on Facebook, it goes straight to Twitter. There are tools to make our lives easier to get the goal done. Think about your goal. Think about who you're trying to get, who is going to search for you, what you want to show up in your Google rankings for. Use the tools. It's a way to just think bigger about how to make this all work together. Twitter, again, think of Facebook statuses, limited Facebook statuses going down the stream, going down the stream. All my stuff automatically goes to Twitter. I don't really necessarily take something to Twitter and say, oh, this is great, I want to share this. If I'm on another article site and I see, like, I want to share it on Twitter, I hit their Twitter button, I write my tweet. So on Twitter, basically, I have it open all day long. I mean, that's actually my normal one monitor. And it's Facebook, email, Twitter, my blog, and then whatever else I'm working on. And so Twitter's always there. And when someone is talking directly to me, they've retweeted me, they're saying something to me, they're answering a question, whatever it is, I get a notification. I go, oh, it's on Twitter. Oh, who's talking to me? Oh, let me answer you. Okay, great. That's all I do. And I tweet all the time. And the other thing, so on Twitter, the other things that are important is hashtags. If you notice, even when I post something, because my stuff goes to Twitter from Facebook, every time I say adoption on Facebook, especially in the first 140 characters, I hashtag it adoption. Because on Twitter, hashtags are how you're going to use something. That's how you're going to find stuff. Flip the Script was the most wonderful example of that whatsoever. Yes, it was fabulous. Because if you wanted to see, you flip the script. And what I would do, and adoption I constantly do, flip the script is, if, you know, if it's an adoptee saying something, I will say it's flip the script. And it works. So hashtags are vitally important. My favorite tool, and I use this with the hashtags, is this app called Buffer. So crazy easy. So everything tweets automatically. I see who's talking to me. And then usually in the morning when I'm like still drinking my coffee, I'll see anything new, flip the script, anything new under the hashtag adoption. And I'll see what other people have said. And if it's one of us and I like it, I favorite it. And then I hit retweet. And then I tell it to buffer it. And buffer automatically spits them out throughout the day. So you don't go, oh, well, Claude just spent 15 minutes on Twitter and just, you know, vomited 700 retweets. So, like, you know, you don't see them all at once. But they're going down the stream. And then they're going down the stream. And it's free. There's a paid one. I don't use the paid one. I will do, like, however many it is, like 12. And then it's like, oh, no, you've used up your amount. And I'm like, okay, great. So now my Twitter feed is filled for the day. I'm spitting out good adoption stuff all day long. And I don't worry about Twitter anymore. I just watch the notifications. Use the tools. There are tools for everything to make our lives easier, to make our goals more attainable. YouTube, again, video. You can optimize a video. Very, very important. On any other social media profile that you're doing, especially if you're an organization of any which way, your branding, your visuals from one site to the next. I do like custom image work for like everything because I want people to know exactly where it is. But on your video, on your YouTubes, you can see right there the name again, the title, use keywords. This one has actually been changed. I forget what we called it first, Suze, but now it's, you know, adoption affects birth mothers. There's Suze. And then the other thing is the description of it. Fill in your description. Tell the people what the, you know, what the video is about. Use the word video. Because when people are looking for video, guess what they search for? Video. Birth mother video. People don't use the word video enough. It's huge. Google is YouTube is actually the second largest search engine. It is owned by Google. What you do to make Google happy, you do on YouTube to make YouTube happy. The spiders are happy. Google owns them all. It's a good thing. You, the first, if you drop the first thing in a Google description is the URL that relates to that site, that will automatically become a hyperlink. So actually, like this one just goes to my site, and if I was smart, looking at it right now, I should have it go to the birth mother page, and I should change that. But use your descriptions in YouTube. It's, again, these are just simple things, and you can get more specific about the actual optimization of the page. I just did the cub videos from Donahue. We optimized those whole things because, again, the spiders can understand video, but what they see are the words around it. So I will put a video up on YouTube, which is great, but then I'll also bring it over. Oh, there's a better picture of the description. So the first thing is the URL. Again, the description has more keywords on it. The names are important. These are things that you can do on YouTube tricks. Again, it's a very simple list. Channels. Like, I have different channels. This is adoption channels. This is, you know, adoptee rights channels. You can make different channels. You can make different playlists. And it's, again, okay to have other people's stuff in your collection. Think of your everything that you own as a resource. And as much other things that you connect to other places, it makes your site more valuable. It makes that account more valuable. And then it makes the links that come from that account more valuable. And again, every time that one person is more valuable and they're liking or linking to somebody else, it helps them become more valuable, which is why, as we do this together as a community, we all grow together. So cool stuff. Google, again, Google Plus. I hate Google Plus myself. I think it's really horrible. It's important. And they keep on saying it's really important. And honestly, I don't know if it's just the marketers that really love it to death and are using it. There are plugins that you can put on WordPress that automatically add things to Google+. You do want to get set up on Google+. If you have an organization, you want them to have a business listing on Google+. If you are at an actual location, you want to have the actual map listing on Google+. It does matter to have all these pieces all rounded out. Again, you want to connect every site. So, you know, oh, you want to connect your Facebook account? Yes. Do you want to connect your Twitter account? Yes. You want to have them all in there together. You want to try to share stuff. So Google Plus is important. You should do it. I hate it. I do, though, because not a lot of us use it. I will be the one who, like, you know, I will click and plus it and, like, you know, say, like, oh, you got one plus one. You know, I will do that. But for any of the sites, you want to fill out your whole profile. You want to put your picture up, especially if you're an organization or a brand or, you know, one of the bigger ones. But you want to have a picture up. You want to try to have your picture up across the board, which is great if you can log in, like, with Twitter or Facebook, because then I always look the same. I like that. You want to connect to them. You want to add your pretty pictures and your branding. And you want to name things with keywords and use the words. Don't get flaky. Get good. Other good tricks that are other good sites. You know, Tumblr is much more youth-orientated. Pinterest is still much more women-based. It's very good for pictures and images. You want to use that. We can get really specific into any. I could speak like 2 hours on any one of these. Instagram, also younger, but these are all really good things. LinkedIn, again, the groups are good. It's more professional. And then Listly, love Listly. I'm going to go off on Listly because it's just so good. Listly is this great tool, and everybody can add, it's collaborative, so everybody can add different things, like different lists of, oh, different great blog posts, you know, you can add them in. And then they're right there, and they're fantastic. And again, you want to follow all the stuff, you want to use your keywords, but look at the number. Almost 27,000 people have searched for, read, and found this list of, and it's, this is a bunch of us. I mean, there's like, forget how many there are in here. It's not just me. It's like a bunch of people. It's all of us. And there's great posts on that, and it reaches people. Listly ranks really well. And the best thing about Listly is that then you can take the code and embed it. So, like, and other people, when other people update it, it updates. So the best example, is this the adoption trauma one? Yes. Lori Gardner started this Is Adoption Trauma page on Facebook. And she wanted to put a list together and start grouping together the adoption trauma articles. And I said, Lori, use Listly. Listly's great. Other people can add stuff. You can add stuff. It's curating all these different URLs from across. It's very targeted. Already it's like 12,000 people have done it. Then people share the links. Other people can add new articles to it. And then, like, I took this whole thing, and it's on my site. So you can read it from my site. You can get a link on Facebook. You can read it from Listly. It's searchable. You could add it to that site. You could add it to this site. You can add it to another page. You can add it wherever. It's fantastic. And like you can see, like this is like, it's a great example. So Storify, Listly could do the same thing. And you know, like you could just have it and people could just add to it and it would be on one thing and you'd have this great list. It's very similar to Storify. I love the embeddable part of it. It's so good. Because you're not sending people then to another site. You can send them to like Adoption Network Cleveland. Here's all the media coverage. I know. Well, you know, our timing was off. And again, I'm going to have all this and more information because a lot of it we could get very, very granular. ACC SEO by the 4th. You can find me. Just Google me. Remember when you lost your phone? He lost his phone once, and he was like, yeah, I don't have your number anymore. And I said, for God's sakes, Max, out of all the people, all the adoptees in the U.S., you can Google, where is my birth mother, Claudia? And Google will tell you. So literally, you can Google my name in any which form you can Google birth mother. You find me. I am not findable. And wow, 10:39.
Nice.
Yes.
I want to add one thing to the social media list, and it's actually borrowing from one of your really good bullet points about URLs.
Yes.
And I will give credit where it's due. I got this from Mae Elliman, who's also here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about books because we worked on an anthology together. All of my Facebook, Pinterest, all the social media stuff was like SuzanneGilbert.39. You can change that.
Yes.
And if you don't like it, you can change it again. So, for example, I have a community page, and I had a misty title. It was, still has the title, use Orphans, Adoptees, and Birth Searcher Fiction, with links to all sorts of fiction, movies, kids' books, novels, about adoptees. And it's 285 links. But it was Suzanne Gilbert, when it was yep. Orphans, Adoptees, it was like unrememberable.
Yes.
And she said, hey, why don't you simplify it? There's this tool on Facebook that everybody has access to. So now it's still Facebook, but because the settings are public, it's just adoption surrogacy books.
Yes.
And it comes up on Google. If
yes.
You make your settings, as with your website, it'll come up on Facebook if you make your settings public. And if you keep the URL understandable and SEO friendly.
Exactly.
And that week, when I changed it from Orphans, Adoptees, and Birth Searcher Fiction to Adoption Surrogacy Books, it went like, phew, up the charts.
Exactly.
And it was amazing advice.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff.
I work for Sloan Kettering in New York, and recently they got rid of the hyphen in Sloan Kettering.
Okay.
It was an enormous amount of time, energy, money, reprinting materials. They did a whole rebranding thing, but they spent so much money on it. And why? Because it was important for the Google listings
yep.
to get rid of that hyphen. And so they did. So when big corporations like that have done all their marketing yeah. research and everything, and they find out that it's that important, then, you know,
it is.
Feed and do the same thing.
Exactly. And Google, by the way, sees a hyphen as a space. So if you ever need a space, like you can separate words. I mean, like if I couldn't get adoption birth mothers, I would have bought adoption hyphen birth mothers because it would have been seen as a space. So sometimes if you're looking for, you know, oh, that's taken, oh, that's taken, oh, that's taken, you can sometimes use a hyphen to your benefit. It's better sometimes to use the hyphen for like a simple, you know, two, three word URL as opposed to like adding six to it because that doesn't come memorable. So, you know, get a little creative on that. You know, you could put words before or after, but keywords, it's great.
Well, so why would Sloan Kettering have to get rid of the hyphen then, if there's a...
That's probably a major decision, and there probably was really, really good reasons. I mean, Sloan Kettering itself is a name,
yeah.
And I'd have to really look into it to see, like, what rankings were before to get to the actual specifics. They probably had, you know, like, a really...
I could probably find out the specific reason why that is so, but I can tell you that whatever it was important enough for them to go to a lot of trouble to do it.
Domino's just did it, too. They got rid of Domino's Pizza, and I was like, well, that just, wow, you guys just blew lots of money on that one. I hope it's worth it, you know, because you have sandwiches. But it really, you know, it does make a difference, so... And again, even if questions when you get, like, specific, like, you know, home, like, oh, my God, well, what can I do here? Just find me. I love to do this stuff, and for the most part for us, you know, I just do it. Because it's important for all of us to be better at this. So my time is our time. So use me, really. Anybody else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk it off. Over. We're done, right? We're overdone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. All right, we're so done. I'm sorry, but thank you. We got through it all, which is a miracle for me.